This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, coming out again, riding Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners, and with God's Word, the truth of God's Word as it is, to men as they are. And we're happy to be with you folks, and often ask you to let me know if you're listening, and I'd like to hear where you're listening from. Let us know that if you would. Just drop us a card or a note or call me. Let me give you my phone number at the office. It's area code 225-664-8658. And you can call me there any day, Monday through Saturday. If I miss you, I'll call you back. I'd like to hear from you if you could. Tell me that you're listening. We're bringing you the study on the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we're coming on down. We got there to the portion where Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and where the lamb had been slain, and the blood had been sprinkled upon the doorpost on the top and on the side. And we saw that in our last two or three studies. By faith, Moses was looking ahead to the deliverance. The Lord had promised to deliver them out, and he was looking forward. And there at midnight, I believe it was at midnight, 1 minute after 12 that night, the lamb had been roasted, had been eaten. The bitter herbs had been eaten with their unleavened bread that was sopped up in a kind of soup that they'd made. They'd eat the bread and the meat. And the lamb that was roasted, they had eaten those bitter herbs, and they were all dressed. Everything was packed. If you remember the scriptures, it said that they were instructed to go to their neighbors and borrow everything that they could, diamonds and jewels and earrings, and just borrow anything they could to take with them. They didn't know what they were going to do. The Egyptian folks didn't know what they were going to do. So they were loaded up with all of their goods and valuable things. And at night, the death angel came, just as God had said he would. He came over the land of Egypt. I believe he came there first. All the ever firstborn of every household, they had gone through all of those plagues, and nine plagues, where the water had turned to blood, and the flies, and all of those things, the frogs had taken over. All of that, they had come on through there. But now, here is the last plague. The death angel came to the land of Egypt. He came over there first, and I believe he came there over the entire land of Egypt, representing the whole world. The two things happened. We looked at this briefly in our last study. The Lord Jehovah came with the death angel. That's the first thing that happened. He came with him. Wherever they were found, the blood sprinkled. The Lord Jehovah went and passed over the door. That's the reason it's called a Passover. He came over the door. Now, let's look at it, and that's the reason it's called a Passover. The Lord Jesus, the Lord Jehovah, passed over that door, and as it were, brooded over or hung over that door, to where when the death angel struck, the blow would land upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The firstborn of those home would be protected. He came and brooded over, and the death angel could not strike. He could not strike the firstborn in those homes where the blood was sprinkled. Every home they went, there was blood. He passed over that door. There he couldn't strike the firstborn. But they came to the homes where there was no blood. The Lord Jehovah stood on the outside, and judgment fell. The death angel came in, thrust a dagger into the heart, and killed the firstborn of every home. The firstborn of all the cattle, and the sheep, and the goats, and everything. Now, what does that mean to you at this time? What does that mean, my friend? It means this. Here's what Moses saw. And here's what every individual in Egypt who saw that experimentally saw. They saw the Christ of Calvary yonder on Golgotha's hill. Like Abraham saw the day of Christ and was glad, according to John 8:56. They saw the day of Christ. He saw the crucified, buried, and risen one yonder hanging on that cross. But he saw something else. He saw every one of God's elect there on that cross with him. He was hugging them to his bosom as he had leaped over and was there hanging over God's elect. Then when God thrust the sword of justice, it hit the Son of God and did not strike me or you as one of God's elect. And that's the reason we're spared, brother. My friend, I tell you, that's the reason we're spared. That's the only reason we're spared. Not because of anything you have ever done. Not because of your clean living. Not because of those things. No, not because we believe the truth. But we believe him who died in our place. Can't you see it, my friend? Can't you believe him? Can't you just rise up and start shouting and praising the Lord? Praise the Lord. On Calvary's cross there he hung. We hung with him, but he hung over us and took the stroke that was intended for us, that you will never have to receive unless you don't know the Lord. Oh, my friend, that's what it means. That's the reason he kept the Passover. He dared not leave the land without going out under the blood. I wouldn't leave this building today if I was you without the blood being over my head. Oh, the only safe place now is under the blood. Under the blood. Moses observed the Passover in his own person. And he said, he kept the Passover. He did the same as everybody else did. Ordered all of the Hebrews to do likewise. He observed the Passover in the fullest, with the fullest assurance that all of the firstborn of the Hebrews would be delivered, and that through it and by it the Jews would be delivered, and that through it and by it every individual behind the blood or under the blood. Yes, and that's the only way God would deliver or could deliver. And that's the way God delivers you and me, even this day. And that's the way he delivered every individual. He never delivers except through the blood. This is one of the most solemn institutions in the Old Testament. One of the most eminent types of Christ that you'll ever find anywhere in God's Word. It was the Lamb slain, the type of Christ who is called the Lamb of God. This Lamb was taken out from the flock of the sheep, so that the Lord Jesus Christ was taken out from the flock, the elect of God, that he might meet the sacrifice of God. Christ was the elect of God to bear the sins of all of God's elect. This Lamb, being taken from the flock, was to be shut up, separated from it, according to Exodus 12:6, so was the Lord Jesus Christ separate from sinners, for he had no sin. This Lamb was to be without blemish, Exodus 12:5. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot, 1 Peter 1:19. This Lamb was to be slain, Exodus 5:6, so that Christ, a Lamb slain from the foundation, Romans 13:8. This is the Lamb was slain as a sacrifice. It was the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, according to 1 Corinthians 5:7. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. The Lamb, after it was slain, was to be roasted. This signifies the fiery wrath that Christ was to undergo for our deliverance. Then, I tell you, my friends, as I stand here, gaze upon that cross by faith, and see the fiery wrath of Almighty God poured out upon our blessed Lord, I tremble. What would it have been for him to have poured it out upon me? This Lamb was not to have bone broken. This typified the death of Christ, not a bone of our Lord, and how he was not a bone was broken. The eating of the slain Lamb was to instruct to the church of the spiritual food, our Lord bared and risen and exalted. And listen, and appropriate him to every heart. That's exactly how the Holy Spirit does, my friend. Oh, I pray you, my friend. We look around, see how the Lord is blessed. One here and one there, and the Holy Spirit does this. Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it marvelous, my friend, how he's given us grace to look to the Lord? Oh, listen, but the average church today knows nothing about the Christ. Therefore, they don't feed upon him. They have nothing to eat, no spiritual food. Picked up the paper every now and then, we lay there and we see some old fool in the city here teaching all of those things about easy believingism. And now they're denying it. So much stuff, it's got to a place, my friend, that hell won't be hot enough for the things that we see coming on the land today. They've taken everything out that blesses poor old hearts of people like you and me. Now, if you don't believe that, my friend, you go over there to any churches that you'd like to see and see what they have today. Listen, I haven't been where they give anything that's fitting to have to take home with you, not one thing. But by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Two things we note here, the Lamb and the blood. The Lamb spake of the person and the work of Christ. It was the person of Christ that gave value to his work. The sinner is to look to Christ in the first place, and then to look to the blood. The blood has no value apart from the person of Christ. You don't trust in the blood for salvation. You trust in Christ for deliverance and salvation. And with the blood, he cleanses us. Isn't that grace, my friend? under the blood, we look to Christ, the person and work of Christ, and then the blood cleanses us from all sin. First, we behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 2, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, let's notice Revelation 5:6. In the midst of the elder stood a lamb as it had been slain. We are first to proclaim to the sinner the glorious God-man, the mediator, then His shed blood for cleansing. It is our Christ. It is our substitute. It is Christ who stands between us and judgment. It's Christ or hell, my friend. You can't get around it. It's Christ or hell. Suppose they'd spent an entire night in fasting and prayer and confessing their sin and crying unto God for mercy. Apart from the sacrifice, they would have all died under the judgment of God. Suppose they called for a great night of prayer and feasting apart from the sacrifice, they would have all died. God says, I will pass over you. It is nothing but the blood of Christ that can cleanse from sin and deliver from the death penalty of God's broken law. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22. Oh, my friend, the old trailblazer. Really don't know what to say at this time except praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I knew how to exalt and hold up the Lord. I wish I knew how to call on you to trust the Lord, to turn from your wicked ways, to forsake all and turn to the Lord. I wish I knew how to do those things. I wish I had strength to do it. I wish I could sit down by your side and put my hand around your shoulders and say, come on to the Lord, my friend. Come on, turn to the Lord. Christ will save you. He died for you. He died for sinners. He died for those who would come to Him. Have you ever prayed, Lord, save me or I perish? I tell my folks here, you don't have to pray those long prayers. Just pray, Lord, Lord, help. Like old Peter did there when he walking on the water. Lord, save me or I perish. Lord, help. That's what the old trailblazer advises you to do. Don't go into long dissertation, oh, trying to impress somebody. No, sir, we have folks who do that thing. But I like to just stand in the prayer service and say, Lord, help. Lord, save me or I perish. Would you do that? I promise you, the Lord will save you if you cry unto Him. If you cry unto Him, He'll answer you. He'll hear you, and then He'll answer you, my friend. So I just ask you at this time, remember the old trailblazer. Pray for me. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I know folks don't like me to say that, but I am just an old sinner saved by grace. And I praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord, washed in the blood. Saved by the blood. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. I wish you were. Would you write me and tell me if you know the Lord? Tell me how the Lord saved you. Tell me when the Lord saved you. And tell me that you're praying for the old trailblazer. I wish you would. Remember, the old trailblazer would love to hear from you. Remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, post office box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. You can go there and look us up, find out much information about the broadcast schedule and all of those things. And if you want to be on our mailing list and you receive our quarterly magazine, you write me and let me hear from you. If you do that, I appreciate it. And then my email address is pastor@radiomissions.org. Goodbye, and God bless you.
You let the Lord in tonight. He's knocking on the door of your heart.